and enter there. I'm going to give you a little review. Are you ready for a review, class?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. So Paul is writing to the church in Colossae about Jesus. Now that's profound, isn't it? Isn't everything about Jesus? He's writing about how Jesus is God. Now that's very profound. The God who is invisible, made visible in the flesh in Christ. That's who he is. And he's writing about how Christ's death and resurrection made peace. Made peace with us. How? Through the shedding of his blood on the cross. He reconciled us to God and to each other. And he brought healing and wholeness, not just for the Jews, but for also the nations. So raise your hand if you're Jewish. You're not. Is there any hope for you? Yes, because Christ came. For all the nations, for every nation, God has brought about salvation in Christ. And therefore, because of Christ's merits, the human merit just means his works, human rules and human teachings do not have power. In human philosophies and human traditions, the basic principles of our culture have no authority. Now we look at the world, we say, how is that the case? I see human philosophies at play. I see human traditions at work. I see human rules that people follow. And things seem to be going well. And also things seem to be going not so well. But don't these work? Even the covenant of circumcision that God cut into Abraham and his offspring is no longer valid because the new covenant that is cut in Christ. So Jesus canceled the written code and disarmed the powers and authorities. He disarmed these powers, the demonic powers, the evil, and also the religious and political powers and authorities, the corrupted. And when I say corrupted, the religious powers corrupted, anybody can be corrupted. Any government, no matter how good or great, can be corrupted. The Pharisees added to the law. They traded the substance and righteousness of the law for the outward measures of righteousness. And Jesus confronted them on that. Humans have sinned and fallen short, those who are not in power and those who are in power. And Christ comes to rescue, restore, and make peace and bring the shalom of heaven to earth. And then following the law and participating in the festivals is not what makes us righteous. So even though the people of Israel were following the law and participating in the festivals, Paul is writing to the church saying, even if you participate in this, if you still participate in that, fine, but that is not what makes you righteous. It's not the outward things you do, it's the one who comes to live in you. He says, you've died with Christ. You can eat and drink what you need, that's fine. You can go to the Jewish festivals and participate or not participate. These are the memorials. That's fine. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. These are not what makes you righteous. It's only Christ that makes you righteous. So you died with Christ and to the basic principles of this world. So that's the review of Colossians 1 through 2. Are you ready to move on? Before we do that, let's ask this question. What are the basic principles of this world? Because that's where he's going to lead to in a second. The basic principles of this world come from family, morals, values, culture, and identity. Let me break that down for you real quick. Family are those who matter to you, those who matter to me. Morals is what is right to me or to my community. Values is what is good to me or to my community. Culture is what is familiar to me. Before I go on to culture, I want to talk more about values. Brianna beautifully did the illustration of Jesus' parable, the rich man who stored up his grain. And we can do the same thing too. What we value, our cultural values, possessions, money, wealth. Why? Because it gives us access to the things that we want. You ask any successful person, sorry, maybe not any, but if you ask anybody who has great wealth, would you be willing to give this up? There'd be many people who would say, no, I've worked so hard for this. But when people come to the end of their life, if they have stored up enough and they suddenly find out that they're dying, that they have some sort of disease, or even if they die in an accident, when life is taken away quickly, all of that seems very insignificant. No one on their deathbed says, oh, I wish I would have made more money. Everyone on their deathbed says, oh, I wish I had more time with my loved ones. Store up treasures in heaven. Do not store up treasures for yourself. Store up treasures in heaven. You may think you have a long life, but the reality is life goes so fast. I'm realizing that every single day. So, your family and morals, your values, culture. Culture is what is familiar to you, what's comfortable to you. You know what it's like to be on a trip, and it's fun for a second, but then at some point you're like, this is not home. I got to go home where I can relax, be comfortable. I got to be with people that I know. I got to eat the food that I like. I went to La Parada last night. That's my culture right there. The best salsa in town. Yeah, you got to check it out. Now I'm talking it up, so I'm sure to live up to the expectation. People may disagree, and that's fine. Anyway, culture, what's familiar to you, identity is who I am as well as who I want to be, who you are as well as who you want to be. And all these are wonderful. And as wonderful as these are, these, your family, your morals, your values, your culture, your identity, if they are all good, this is not what makes you righteous. Or as terrible as all these are, you could have a terrible family, come from terrible, be around people who have terrible morals, terrible values, terrible culture, and you think of yourself and you'd say, I'm nothing. You know, that's a pretty low place to be. There's hope for you. As terrible as these do not disqualify you from God's grace. Isn't that good news? Amen. This is not what saves you. This is not what disqualifies you. So let's move past this. These are the basic principles of the world. When Jesus met with Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to Jesus, this Pharisee, at night. Jesus said to him, well, he had the right family, he had the right morals, he had the right values, the right culture, the right identity. Everything about him was right, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you should not be surprised, Nicodemus. You must be born again. In other words, Nicodemus, you must die. You must be baptized. You must be born of water and the Spirit. And he's scratching his head thinking, this is a new teaching for me. He says, you're Israel's teacher. You don't even understand this. Everyone who is called to Jesus is called to die. We talked about that this morning. And this is why we don't tell people, you are perfectly fine the way you are. That is the message of our culture. You are loved, you are perfectly fine the way you are. And there's some truth to that, but that is not the full truth. There's nothing wrong with you. God loves you just as you are. Sure, that's true, but we don't stop there. That's not the full picture. God loves you so much that he will transform you into his likeness and make you to be what he has created you to be, what you are intended to be, to make you his child, part of his family, and to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. God loves you the way you are, and he loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you where you are. He has greater things for you. Now, if I go too far to the extreme, I could get into a health and wealth gospel, and I'm going to stop there and go back. And here's how you become who God has created to be. You must die. I'm not talking physical death, spiritual death, where you lay your life down to the one who laid his life down to you. And we died with him, and because he rose from the dead, he has raised us. So here we are. That's all introduction. Now here's hopefully a 10-minute sermon. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 11. You ready? Now you've had the background. Here we go. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So notice the have been. You have been raised. Has anyone been raised from the dead? But you're not dead. Right? How can you be raised if you're not dead? This is the past perfect. It's a completed action. It's done. You've been raised with Christ. It's a mystery, isn't it? How? I haven't physically died. And you haven't physically been raised either. The spiritual has happened, though. The physical is the result of the spiritual. God speaks, and creation responds. The spiritual is first, the physical is second. God speaks, creation responds. God saves, new creation responds. God saved you, bodily resurrection is to come. Salvation is now, new life is today, eternal life is to come. Sorry, eternal life is today, but the eternal life that is not seen becomes seen soon. It's a better way to put it. JD, you're talking about things above. You're not talking about earthly things. That's the point. Set your minds on things above. Notice he first says, set your hearts on things above. Then he says, set your minds on things above. Which one is it? It's both. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What are the things above? I already got to that. Here's a little diagram. Don't you love diagrams? What are the things above? Things above, earthly things. Imagine this is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdoms of this world. You see the earth down here, right? The people online can see that little blue ball right there. The things of God, the things of fallen humanity. I don't know what this line is. The unseen things, the things that are seen. Set your mind, set your hearts here, not here. Set your desires here, not here. Set your longings, your hopes here. The eternal, not the temporary. So we know this. Christ, who is in heaven, in my life, which is on earth. And we know the gospel, that Christ came from heaven to earth. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Sing it. The gospel in one 90s song. Isn't it great? Or is that 80s? I don't know. I just know it's a great song. So the Christ came down. He took up his cross. He died and he rose from the dead. Simple. And yet we're called to take hold of Christ. And when we take hold of Christ, our life is hidden with Christ in God. That's what the Bible says. That's what he's telling the Colossians. Your life is here. And in fact, if your life is up here and no longer down here, that means something happened. It means you died. Obviously, I do not have a degree in graphic design. I do have a master's of divinity, though. You can trust me. My life is now hidden. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What do you mean hidden? Am I supposed to hide it? I thought I'm not supposed to hide it under a lamp. Or hide it under a bowl. Hide under a lamp. Don't hide your light under a lamp. I'm not supposed to hide it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about Christ is with the Father in heaven. And if you have Christ, so are you. Your life is here in heaven with Christ. That should change everything down here. It should reshape how you view yourself, how you view your world, how you view your community. It should shape everything. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What are the earthly things? The things of the kingdoms of this world. It's not just the sinful things, that's part of it. But it's anything that gives us significance that's not of God. And you could probably think of a few right now. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. There we go. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. That's his letter to the Galatians. To the Galatians. And here's what is going to happen. One day Christ will return. And he will come and bring heaven to earth. This is the best picture I can give of heaven coming to earth. Earth renewed. So this is judgment. This is new creation. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, and this happens, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. This is this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Now, if I just came up to you and said, which is happens, you need to do better. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. If I don't explain all of this to you on what Christ has done, what Christ is doing, this whole section here is just confusing and worthless. The world lives according to this section here without knowing the former. Put to death, therefore. We hang on this, the therefore. Because all this is true, because your life is hidden with Christ, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. It's foolishness to those who do not understand the cross of Jesus. What do you mean, sexual morality? I'm a sexual being. I can behave however I want, as long as it's respectful to other people. You mean impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. What are you talking about, greed? I can make as much money as I want. And I can spend my money how I want. Idolatry? How is that idolatry? Come on. That would be our mindset if we do not have our things, have our mindset on things above. Put to death. So when Brianna was pregnant with Caroline, we were excited, obviously. And I thought, man, I'm having my fourth kid. I forgot, I texted Alex Butler. He let me know they're having another child. So Alex and Abby Butler, who moved to Bowling Green, they have two kids and they're expecting their third kid. So how fitting for this illustration. Is that exciting? I don't know. Aren't you guys excited for them? Let's celebrate. Even though they're not with us, we're still excited for them, and he asked that you pray for them. So they're expecting, but when we were expecting Caroline, I thought, man, this is my fourth kid. I don't know if I can do this. And when Brianna was pregnant again, she had to make decisions to care for herself in ways that she didn't have to really make before she was pregnant. Now, obviously, she always took care of herself. But what if she was a smoker? And then the person said, you're pregnant. Or the doctor said, hey, you're pregnant. You need to quit smoking. Would it be a good idea for her to quit smoking for the sake of the baby? Yeah. Doctor says, you're pregnant. You should probably quit drinking for the sake of the baby. Would it be good to follow those instructions? Yeah. Hey, you probably should stop doing drugs for the sake of the baby. Is that a good decision? Yeah. Now, it's a good decision if you're not pregnant, but especially if you're pregnant. Why? Because there's somebody else living in you. Not just for your sake, but for the sake of the one growing in you, abstain from these things. Even things that are not maybe seen as sin. Playing contact sports, that's not a big deal. Hey, you're pregnant, you probably should stop playing football. Now, some girls play football. You don't see pregnant ladies playing football. And if you did, you'd say, stop doing that. Well, why? Because you have someone living inside you. It's not good for them. Or doing stunts. You don't see stunt ladies doing stunts when they're pregnant. Because the doctor said it's not a good idea. You get the point. Stop. Don't do that anymore. Why? Well, your reality is different. You have a child growing in you. Your body is not your own. Your body also belongs to your child. And whatever harms you is going to harm your child. Put to death whatever is harmful for the sake of your baby. And if we're that serious with expectant mothers, how serious is God with those who he calls to be his beloved children? There are things that are of my kingdom. And there are things that are not of my kingdom. This guy should be holding the cross right now. He's not. Put to death in yourselves the things that are not of my kingdom. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. They don't mix. You can't have both. You can't live in both kingdoms. You can't serve two masters. You can't worship gods besides the one true God. Why? Because you don't belong to that anymore. You're not your own. You were bought at a high price, which means you're extremely valuable. And God is a jealous God. He wants.
Mine's from Kevin's iPhone.
There it is. I told you. You're not your own. You're bought at a high price. You're extremely valuable. And he wants you all for himself. He's a jealous God. Now, if you're married, do you want your spouse to be jealous of you? Not of you, but jealous for you. Like, what if your spouse didn't care if you were just around with different people? Like, I don't care. Is that a good spouse? No. God is a good spouse. Christ is married to his church. You're mine. Christ also purifies his church. We can't do that for our spouse, but he does that for us. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't that a cute picture? That's my baby Caroline. I love this picture. So she, Brianna carried Caroline for 9 months, and then she gave birth to her. We never saw her those whole 9 months, but Brianna felt her inside. We knew she was there. The belly grew and made more room for her to grow. We never saw her. We just knew she was coming. And July 24th, 2021, she was born. Her birthday was last week. This would have been a perfect sermon for last week, but it's today. She was born, and she appeared, and she was beautiful and still is beautiful. In order to have, this is a picture of heaven. When Christ appears, you see him as he is and you are like him. In order to have heaven put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, again, if we just say to the world, the wrath of God is coming, that just falls on deaf ears. When something so good, so holy, so perfect, so blameless is coming, of course, the wrath of God is coming to destroy these things. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Anyone there? Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. God's wrath is coming. What a great message, right? Let me go back to this image. God's wrath is coming. Really, his holiness, there is no gap in between. God's holiness will come to earth, and all that is in Christ's, it's like gold in the fire. It will be found blameless. It will be purified. But all the dross, all the impurities will be destroyed. How can unholy things survive in the presence of a holy God? His judgment is right and it's good. God's wrath is coming. All these things, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, are the things of injustice against God's prized creation. The kingdoms of the earth won't be able to handle the kingdom of heaven. The deeds of darkness will be exposed by the light. God's justice and righteousness will reign and triumph over sin and injustice. And those who are not clothed in Christ will be consumed by God's holy presence. He's a purifying fire who burns up anything that's not eternal. So how can one be made eternal? How can one be made holy? How can one be made righteous? Be made whole? How can one be raised from the dead? Those are all good questions. And the only way is to be in Christ. To be in Christ. And if we're in Christ, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Your family, your nationality, your human traditions, your identity, your morals, your values, your privileges or lack of privileges, your religious practices or lack of religious practices, none of these will save you. None of these will make you whole. None of these will transform you into an eternal being with Christ. They won't provide you what you need. It's only Jesus. And Jesus is not just a deposit guaranteeing a future of heaven. Rather, he is for today. You have been raised with Christ today. And he's calling you to live as his son or daughter, as a citizen and ambassador of the kingdom of heaven in the world in which you live today. and so that anyone who would listen would come to Christ, whether they're Greek or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, anybody is welcome to come to Christ and die with him and be raised with him today and in the last day. I just got word this week that a family friend of ours, Kevin Ganton, from Spring Arbor, Michigan, only 59 years old, he likely has aggressive cancer. And so I would just ask that we as a church, we pray for that family, family that's dear to me. But even in the most desperate time, when you feel like you've got the worst news in the world, this is exactly why we need to be strengthened and solidified in the truth that our life is not here on earth, it's in heaven.
Amen.
It's with Christ. But the temporary passes away, but we are being renewed day by day. Mm-hmm. We need it. We need him. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We love you. We bless you. We thank you for your presence.